You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks, alongside Chris to my right, and James actually to my left. He's actually here in person with me here today. Welcome to Starcastic Remarks. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, for being our sponsor as always. That promo code there is THPN. The next time you were there to get a special little offer from them. And also want to give a quick shout out to our newest member of the Who Cares Club, Brandon Perkins. He's out there, and I hope he's listening to this episode. We appreciate your support of our podcast and all of those who have continued to be members of the Who Cares Club. If you'd like to sign up for that, link is in the description below, whether it be on YouTube or on the audio side. Guys, we've seen a lot of hockey, and not necessarily NHL hockey. It's been international hockey, but how have y'all been? Y'all been good?
Great, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular. I came here, had a day off work, hadn't been around Farmers in a while, so decided to come hang around for a bit.
And you were just like, hey, well, let's just go to Farmersville. Why not?
Yeah.
Yep. Samantha's here too. So she's hanging out with Amanda for a while. Chris, how's that been going for you?
Pretty good. I'm still alive.
Barely. Ardell, you were not late. So going straight into it. But okay. We have seen quite a bit of Four Nations hockey, guys. We've seen some Canada-US from Saturday. We've seen some Finland-Sweden, and we've also seen some Canada-Sweden as well. So what are you guys excited about with this Four Nations tournament? Did they seem to kind of hit it off this year when it comes to the NHL and getting rid of the All-Star game and doing this instead?
I mean, yeah, like we said last time, it's pretty obviously fantastic. The USA-Canada game was literally perfect. Everybody who has never even watched hockey was talking about it. It was on every podcast I listened to, even ones that are decidedly not sports-related. That came up at some point during the conversation. So it has worked out perfectly. It has become the talk of the world just because of what happened in that game. And it was a fantastic game, and it was a great representation of the product that the NHL can put out. So, I mean, it was pretty much perfect, and hopefully they can build the hype and make Thursday even better.
Yeah, the players especially have done a really good job. I mean, all the games have been spectacular and close. The biggest blowout one was Finland versus US. So all the other games have been very close down to the final seconds even, for who was going to win.
Yeah. What I've loved about all of these games is they've actually seemed to matter. And this is just a one-off tournament. Like, we're never going to see anything like this again. Like, in particular, just the Four Nations-wise, the way they're doing it now. This was just to pick the brains of the players and be like, okay, we'll give you a little bit of international hockey before the Olympics start next year. This is exactly why they're doing this. Fantastic. It's been a ton of fun. But let's specifically get into the game for tomorrow, because obviously it's a rematch between Canada and US, as it should be, as a lot of people expected, as a lot of betting odds said that it was. 10.1 million people between Canada and the US watched the last game. That's more than a whole bunch of games over the last couple of years, and especially non-Stanley Cup playoff games. So, well, first off, what are you expecting from the game? And then two, do you think we will surpass that amount in this rematch?
I mean, I'm hoping it's going to be just as exciting as the last one was. We might not see three fights in the first 9 seconds, but I'm expecting it to be just as competitive, just as hard-hitting, and hopefully the American fans there truly will outnumber the Canadians, and we can see a true home versus home atmosphere setting too.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, at the very least, it's going to be a very physical game. Like Chris said, probably not the three fights in 9 seconds, but you're going to see some heavy hitting, and there's bad blood between the two teams without them really ever facing each other that much.
It's awesome. I mean, it's absolutely awesome that we're seeing something like this. And again, you mentioned it, Chris, the three fights in 9 seconds, that was fantastic. And some people were like, oh, they staged that completely. Okay. Maybe like Matthew and Brady Tkachuk talked about like fighting and same thing with JT Miller, but I don't think they all expected to go that quick. And I also didn't expect, you know, three members of Team Canada to kind of step up to that mark. So there's a lot of injury news around the Four Nations tournament as well, especially for US and for Canada as well. We'll talk about Thomas Harley here in a little bit, but for this game in particular, Charlie McAvoy, he gets an infection of some kind and he is out. And I'm still not sure about the whole Quinn Hughes thing. I have no idea if he's playing or if he's not, or if he's called up or if he's not. I don't think he is, but I mean, what have y'all seen about Quinn Hughes?
Yeah, misreporting. I mean, the insiders seem to have been wrong because the last thing I saw from the last reputable source I saw said that he was not in Boston. He was not called up at all because there wasn't enough injuries to make him available. So I don't know. It's weird. But Hughes isn't playing. He's not going to be the emergency guy because there are other, I just saw they sent two other people. I can't remember who it was, but two other defensemen were sent to Boston as emergency replacements, like Harley became for Canada.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for Quinn Hughes either. I mean, he's been nursing something in the regular season going into the break. You really shouldn't try to come in for a game that you know is going to be physical. I mean, it's going to be a hard game to play.
I don't think he's going to play. It would be definitely interesting for sure, considering he was the captain for Team USA before he got hurt and had to withdraw from the Four Nations tournament, but it would be fun to see him be able to play with his brother Jack, and it's just going to be an absolute brawl between these two countries when we see it tomorrow night. What's y'all's prediction for the game? Do y'all have any predictions, whether it be like the score or penalty?
I think USA is going to win. I mean, they're still on paper. I think that they're the better team. They obviously have the bigger emotional leaders between the two Tkachuks. I mean, they really controlled. I mean, they didn't score as much as they did against Finland, but emotionally they controlled the Canada game. They decided how that started and they carried that momentum throughout the entirety of the game. And if USA can keep it physical and they can keep playing the style that they did last time against Canada, and if the main thing is if Hellebuyck can keep being next to perfect, then USA is going to win again.
Yeah, and that's kind of a big thing overall is goaltending, especially for Canada. I mean, you've seen Bennington play every single game, and I know a lot of Canadian fans are not very happy about that, but it looks like they're riding or dying on him. And if you're looking at Hellebuyck or Bennington, you're taking Hellebuyck every single day of the week.
That was one of the things I actually wanted to ask y'all about. For the on the U.S. side, it's pretty obvious. We want Ottinger to get the start. He's not going to. It's going to be Hellebuyck for sure. But I mean, for Bennington, he's been, I mean, for lack of a better term, iffy in some of the goals that he's given up, including in the U.S. game. The Gensel goal, that should never go in my own personal opinion. So do you think they just stick with him just because he's the best option, or do you think they give someone else a chance?
I mean, they'd be crazy to put someone else in.
Yeah, especially after having him in for all three of the other games, you're just going to throw a goaltender in cold.
Yep. So we're expecting another Connor versus Jordan matchup in the pipes for this game coming up.
Yeah, but to show you the difference between those two guys, Jordan has given up 9 goals in 3 games, and Hellebuyck gave up two goals in two games. That's crazy.
It is quite startling, the difference between these two goalies. And you know, there, by the way, this is something I should mention. I don't know if y'all have heard about this. So y'all know that Logan Thompson is Canadian, correct? Mm-hmm. He's playing out of his mind, lights out, for the Washington Capitals. And there were a ton of people that were very surprised that he didn't even make the team. Like, they expected him to at least make it, maybe not be the starter, but, you know, maybe push for being the starter. Do y'all know the story behind that, apparently?
Why don't you tell us?
Yes. Okay. Because
if we say yes, and then nobody knows the story on the podcast, that wouldn't make for a great show, would it?
No, it wouldn't. So, long story short, Pete DeBoer and also Bruce Cassidy, both were head coaches of Vegas. They both have worked with Logan Thompson in Vegas. And it was very surprising last offseason that Logan Thompson got traded. And everyone was like, why would you trade away a guy who's been playing really well for you? And he's making like $750,000 on his entry-level deal. He basically can be a number one goalie for you. And it kind of got answered a little bit when he got snubbed for Team Canada. The report out there is that both Pete DeBoer and Bruce Cassidy both said, absolutely not. He will not be a member of this team. We do not want him here. And, you know, to Team Canada's GM's credit, they didn't take it. So I don't know what the beef is there, if it's something between just those two coaches and the player or something. But considering that it's two coaches who are having issues with him, maybe Logan Thompson has got a little bit of drama connected to him.
Either way, it's stupid because he's by far the best Canadian goalie so far this year, and now they're getting cooked.
Well, and they throw that, now that discussion comes into play. Despite the drama and all the other issues, should he still have been here?
Yep. You still should have been there. You should have put him in the broom closet, make him change in there, and then throw him out on the ice. And he doesn't even have to talk to the players.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's such a weird thing when you're talking about these best-on-best tournaments. And the best players should be there every time. And it, sometimes the personalities just clash, and it doesn't end up that way.
Well, and it also makes you think of whether – do you think those things have happened in the past before? Surely it's happened before. I honestly can't think of any off the top of my head. But
2016 World Cup of Hockey, USA fielded a team that they thought would be a good defensive and have better teamwork. And the GM for US hockey thought that he could outcoach the skill of every other team. That team didn't win a game in the World Cup of Hockey. They got blown out. Now, no players from the 2016 USA World Cup of Hockey team are on this current USA hockey team for the Four Nations. So, yes, it's happened before, and it fails almost every time.
James, you concur?
Yeah, GM trying to go brain blast and not working. Shocker.
Yeah, when you have the choice of the best players in the world, probably pick the best players in the world. I think that's a good, safe bet.
Especially when goaltending is definitely one of your weak links, especially for Team Canada. Like, you, like all three of the other teams have way better goaltending than Canada.
Even with Thompson in, you're still giving the edge to the U.S.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I mean, if you have Thompson in that, then you could probably say you might have better goaltending than Sweden or Finland, possibly. Yeah?
Maybe.
Maybe.
At least probably. This year.
Yeah, so... I don't know. Okay, so let's kind of make a prediction on the game. What's your score line? What do you think?
I think it's going to be 3-2 U.S. I think Canada's finally going to break through a little bit more. I think McDavid and McKinnon are going to go crazy mode, but Hellebuck's still going to be able to stand up and be insane and make some crazy saves. And I'll put the over-under on fights at 2.5.
2.5?
Yeah. I think everyone wants to stay in this game because it's so important. They're not going to want to sit for 5 minutes the way they did in the last one.
Oh, and by the way, so there were a lot of rumors about, you know, injuries and stuff like that. apparently both Tkachuk brothers are going to play. Austin Matthews is going to play as well.
Yeah, the Tkachuks could have two broken ankles and they would still be playing. So
I mean, Matthew Tkachuk was playing with a broken sternum 2 years ago.
Right.
When Florida was in the Stanley Cup final 2 years ago. So, yeah there's nothing that's going to keep him out.
And he seems to care a lot more about this than the Stanley Cup final for whatever reason, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's just hyped for it, man.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And so when we go to the Olympics next year, Tkachuk is the captain, right? I mean, we're done with this Matthews being the captain and doing nothing all tournament. I think we're done with that.
I don't think Matthews was the captain, was he?
He's the current captain
of team. See, that's how shocking it is. He didn't even know.
He's great at scoring goals. I will never deny that. But I mean,
he's not scoring them right now.
When you have Matthew Tkachuk on your team as well, I mean, it's hard to not just hand it to him.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's got to be Matthew Tkachuk, right? Yeah. That only makes sense moving forward. The other question is when Team Canada goes to the Olympics next year, do you pass the C to Connor McDavid or does Sidney Crosby still keep it for at least one more year?
Do you see Crosby in the first game of this tournament?
Yeah.
Crosby probably keeps it. That's kind of what I was kind of pushing the hint towards. It's like, you guys are 37 years old.
Yeah.
He's really excited. Yeah, he gets the captaincy again in the Olympics.
If Crosby's on the ice, he's going to have the C. I mean, he could play in the next Olympics and he would have the C still, even at 41.
For me, I'll say, I think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be like, I'll say 5-4. I think it's going to, there's not going to be some good goaltending going on.
If it's high scoring, Canada wins.
I don't know. There's some guys in Team USA that can score some goals.
You know who USA doesn't have?
Eichel.
Yeah, you know who they don't have? McDavid and McKinnon, the two best players in the world.
All right. Okay, let's move off of that. I'm just really happy that the NHL did this. This is one of the few things that they've done right over the last couple of years. So,
but now, what do you think they'll do next year? Because everyone's talking about how you can't go back to an All-Star game after this. Well, not next year, but the year after next.
2 years.
What happens then? Because everyone's saying, no way we're doing an All-Star break ever again. But
so, I mean,
you can't do this every year. You know how many people are injured?
Yeah. So World Cup of Hockey is in 2028, correct? It's not 2027?
Okay. Correct. The plan right now is to do an international tournament in February every 2 years.
I think the All-Star game will be fine because it gives it a little bit of a break. And instead of having such an intense tournament mid-season every single year, I think it'll actually be a little bit of a welcome sight for some of the top players where it'll just be just real chill, real relaxed, and nothing super stressful. So that's my only thing. I think that with all the plans that the NHL has, I think having a All-Star game every other year is a good idea. That's just how I feel about it.
I agree. I think that'll be the best thing. But if we're already going to, I mean, we see how the games are played in the All-Star game. It's very half speed. So if we're doing that, are we just going to go all the way to NFL levels and we're just going to play pond hockey and give the goalies some actual sticks and just skate around? I mean, that might be fun too.
Yeah, just think of some random thing. It doesn't even have to be an All-Star game. Like, I think people would be fine with a super skills competition and then call it good.
Right? Yeah, or that.
I mean, but don't just get, like, the best players in the world to do the super skills competition. Yes, get those players. But get the actual guys who have the hardest shots and who can skate the fastest. Because there's probably a good chunk of players who are really fast, who can shoot really hard, who are not necessarily All-Star level, right? Yes?
Yeah.
I think you could get those players, and it would make the super skills way more interesting. I think it would make it more interesting, and it would make it more fun. So, okay. Let's continue on about some of the stars in the Four Nations Tournament, okay? For There's obviously there's four players there for the Four Nations tournament that are representing the Stars. Obviously, you've got Granlund and Lindell for Finland. They've been excellent. We'll talk about each of them here in a second. Harley obviously got called up for Team Canada. It was a shock for a lot of people in Canada. They had no idea who this guy even was. And then it was, you know, then they, when he finally played against the U.S., they were like, oh, wait, we want him to stay in. And he got scratched for the rest of the time. And then obviously we've got Otter for Team USA. And then finally, kind of Rope is kind of surprisingly took a back seat and very quiet in the tournament. But the first guy I want to talk about is Mikael Granlund. Because he definitely shone out in this tournament more than any other Dallas Star did, in my personal opinion. I mean, you score three goals in an international tournament like this, it's fantastic. And the specific thing that I wanted to talk about with you guys, and I'll get your thoughts on it, I'm really starting to believe that this Granlund trade is going to be extremely underrated by the end of the season. And maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, by the end of the playoffs when the Stars are hoisting up a silver cup. So when you see a guy like that be able to make the goals that he did, you can obviously kind of put that towards the Stanley Cup playoffs and be like, well, maybe he can score goals, really big goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Dallas Stars as well. And again, just another clutch player. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how that lies and how it plays out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, big time player, and he proved it in the tournament here. I mean, he gets the game winner in the rivalry match against Sweden, and then almost gets the full comeback with him and Esa Lindell alone in the final game to try and push them to the championship, which was incredible. And just the leadership role he took on that team was pretty apparent on the ice too. It was shocking how noticeable Granlund was for being a second line player on that team. So yeah, I 100% agree. I think he's a guy that is really able to elevate his game in these important moments, like he did in the last two games. So yeah, really impressed by him, and hopefully we see some of that in the playoffs.
Yeah, this is really someone who we want to see be big in the playoffs, particularly. Regular season's great and everything, but that's not what we need him for. We need players like that for the playoffs.
And that's something that, you know, when the Stars went out and got Max Domi, they didn't really get that from Max Domi. No. And that's not a shot at Max Domi. He's not a clutch player, right? You could say to a certain extent, like, Matt Duchene is also a clutch player, right? I mean, he scores the overtime goal against Colorado to put them away. So I think it will only help the Stars to have a player like that. And maybe he can produce in the playoffs and get a big time goal for the Stars and get them back from a 2-0 deficit, or, you know, take that game six, go up 3-2 in the series, or even win the dang series. So I just thought it was really interesting to watch that, and just extremely underrated, you know, Jim Neal doing his thing again. So, well, let's talk about Thomas Harley for a second as well, because I wanted to discuss him and his, I don't know if you want to call it exciting, just craziness from the last week or so. He gets the call from Team Canada that, hey, don't go anywhere. And he's fixing to be on his way on vacation with Wyatt Johnston. And he has to call Wyatt Johnston and say, hey, sorry, dude, I can't go. And then he gets told, okay, you're flying to Boston, and that's where you're possibly going to play in a game. But we don't exactly know the rules and how this works, if you can even get in the game or not. It has to be very specific. And then they're like, oh, wait, no, you need to be redirected to Montreal because Cale Makar might be too sick to play in the game against the U.S. And then in your first international appearance for your home country, it's against the United States. And there was a tweet that went out. I forgot who it was. But Thomas Harley, when he talks about his first career games in terms of NHL or international, is kind of insane. His first NHL game was in the bubble against, I think it was St. Louis. What was it? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But it was insane. I mean, Rick Bonus just kind of threw him in there and said, hey, try this. Let's see how it goes. And that was his first NHL game in a playoff game in the bubble, the most unique situation ever that anyone will ever have. And then he also has this situation that happens to him, this experience this week. I mean, kind of weird, kind of cool, exciting, all kind of wrapped up into one. So what did y'all think about his play against the United States? I thought he was really, really, really good.
Yeah, he was pretty great. He had 18-17 time on ice. He was really solid, kept up with the speed of the game, didn't look out of place at all. So that's really impressive. And he didn't even get to take morning skate with the team because Makar was on the ice. So he had to stand literally outside the rink, outside the door, and just peek around and look and see what drills they were running to see if he could catch up to whatever system they were doing. Now, it probably helped that DeBoer, who was a coach for Canada and ran the defense, he was probably able to relay what was going on pretty easily. Maybe they were doing similar stuff to what the Stars were doing since he was running D. But he looked great. I think it's good experience for him to see, I mean, one of the most intense games he's going to play all year, probably. And the entire time during that game, as soon as it started, before I was really excited, I was like, I'm super glad Harley's getting into the tournament. Then the game started, and I was like, ooh, I really hope he doesn't get broken, because that was a terrifying hockey match.
Yeah, especially in a game like that. Good night. I couldn't even imagine. I didn't know Miro Heiskanen and Thomas Harley.
I was just shocked when I first saw the news that he was headed to Boston. Yeah. I just thought that was so cool. And what I'm trying to look up is just a list of names that I had originally tweeted out. But it was a surprise to Canadians that he was, you know, they talked about, you know, there might be a possible call up by somebody because people are sick. And then Shea Theodore went down too. But I mean, there was names thrown out there like, you know, Evan Bouchard in Edmonton. Mackenzie Weegar in Calgary. There's a couple of other names that were mentioned out there too. But I don't think anybody had Thomas Harley on their radar. And to be completely honest, and I'm kind of sad to say this, I didn't really have him on my radar either. And what it made me realize about Thomas Harley in particular is that this guy is the top 10 defenseman in the NHL. I think you could very easily make that argument based off of what he's done this year and how he's done it. And the fact that he passes all of these other guys up. And yes, you could say that they might've been looking for someone that is similar to Makar because they're missing him out of the lineup or whatever. Maybe that's why he gets pushed in that direction, but still just the fact that, you know, he gets called up above all of these other great Canadian defensemen, that says a lot about his standing in Team Canada and then within the realms of the NHL. I think that's something that needs to be talked about more, is that he really is one of the better defensemen in the NHL.
Yeah. I don't know about top 10 in the NHL, but top 10 Canadians, for sure he is. I mean, I think he's a pretty obvious choice to go in there to replace Makar, a guy who can move the puck really well, especially in a game like that where USA was forechecking so hard. They're probably super thankful that he was there. He was able to move the puck super easily.
Yeah, I mean, he was spectacular too. I mean, it kind of shows us how much we kind of underrate him a bit, because we have Miro Heiskanen in front of him, so he gets overshadowed so much on this team. And it's, I mean, it's no his fault, but he is spectacular. He's probably I wouldn't say he's top 10 in the NHL either, but top 20, top 30, definitely, like 100%.
It's the reason why I say that is just he just doesn't get enough credit for what he does. And I he's very quickly becoming one of those players. I think you could argue for him being a top 10 player when it comes to defensemen in the NHL. I really do think you can do that. Anything else about Harley in particular you would like to discuss?
Nope.
Okay. I do want to mention Lindell, and one thing in particular that I thought he did really well is just obviously we knew going in he was going to play a ridiculous amount of minutes. I think in the final game he played 27 minutes, right? Right, Chris? I think it was you that said something.
Yeah, it was 27, 28.
But it's just absolutely bizarre how much that guy can play and still be so stinking effective. And in terms of, I mean, maybe he's underrated offensively. I mean, he's got the only goal on the power play for the Stars. And then out of the three goals for Team Finland in their final game for the Four Nations tournament, all of them are Dallas Stars players. It's Granlund who gets two, and then Lindell who gets the third. So he's just, again, another guy who just doesn't get enough credit for what he does and for how he does it. And he just played ridiculously in the tournament.
It's kind of cool to see that if Miro was healthy, there'd be all the top three Stars defensemen would be in the tournament. Like, yep. it's our defense core is like the top part is super, super strong.
Yeah, the top three are maybe the best top three in the league, but the problem is the bottom three are probably some of the worst bottom three in the league. So that's how it balances out. But yeah, Lindell was fantastic. He absolutely has the offensive ability. The problem is we have two players that are better than him offensively on our blue line already, so we don't need him to do that. Instead, he can just be the best defensive defenseman in the league.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Have you played Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? You better get on it. The playoffs are here and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Play for better payouts on Pick 6. It's super easy to get started. Select two or more players, choose if they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. And DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers pay $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Win more cash on Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
The one thing I thought was also really interesting is, did y'all realize where he played specifically? He mostly played on the right side. Is that something that we maybe see him do when he comes back?
Definitely. I mean, that's not even a question. He's doing that anyway. He's going to end up doing that.
I mean, they did it to him for Finland's coaching staff did. So I don't know why the Stars are, I don't want to say they're hesitant, but I don't know why they haven't tried that more often. They have tried it some this season, but he played on the right side almost exclusively the entire tournament. And again, it's only three games, but he was playing against the best players in the world. And he looked really good doing what he did on the right side as a lefty. So that's someone that I think you should maybe give a look at. Maybe Lindell can play the right side and Miro can play the left side. So I don't know. What do y'all think on that?
I think you might see Hartley and Lindell on the same pair, like at the end of the game or something, as we get into later in the season. But right now, with how thin our decor is, you have to spread out Hartley and Lindell just to be able to spread out the minutes enough, you know? So that's just what sucks about how thin we are right now with blue liners. But absolutely, he can play right side. And if worst case scenario, we head into playoffs and Miro's not ready, we might see Hartley, Lindell each playing 30 minutes a night in that round one, which that would not be ideal. Absolutely. I don't think you can try and survive on that through grueling Stanley Cup playoffs, but maybe to get through round one to wait for reinforcements with Miro, they might try it.
I want to get to the last two players here that we've seen in the tournament. Like I mentioned very briefly, Roope Hintz was very invisible for a majority of the tournament. I don't
and
even
bad know. For parts.
Yeah, and bad for parts that the turnover in the Canadian and the Canada game was especially bad. But I'm not putting anything on that, to be completely honest with you. So
it's not even just that turnover. I mean, there was so many chances he had to be a goal scorer, and he just acted scared to shoot the puck for whatever reason through the entire tournament. So I don't know what his deal was. Maybe he was just trying to be too team oriented, because that is Finland's like big MO is to play as a team. But hopefully he learns from that and realizes that he's the catalyst. He's a guy that can make a difference in these big time games, and it's up to him to change him. So shoot the puck, change the game.
And it was a weird situation with Finland too, because basically if they let in two or three goals, the game felt over, because there's just no one on the back
end. No one on defense. Yeah.
So,
and then again, not to bring up his name, but that shows the direct contrast in how different Greenland played and how different Hintz played. Like, Greenland obviously was the most talked about Finland player coming out of this tournament.
He was the best player on Finland.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't want to put too much into it. I don't want to put too much into the whole Greenland thing. And could he be the difference maker? But it's interesting to look at when games are high stake like this, and, you know, against the best on best in the world, and, you know, Granlund steps up, hence not so much.
And the other thing is, like, Granlund's getting older too. He knows he doesn't have that many more shots at it, and this is one of those things that could really mean a lot, is just getting into tournaments like this. How many more chances is he going to have where he's playing the best players in the world?
And then I kind of want to jump real quick to Otter. Otter only gets in the one game. I didn't think he played bad. He might want the first goal back, but again, he only lets in two goals, and it was a game that, you know, really didn't matter. And you're coming off the emotional high, on that win against Canada. Yeah. So again, I don't totally blame the team for it, but I thought he played really, really well in the game against me.
And the USA started down a man before the puck even dropped, and then they lost another guy in the first 10 minutes. And Sweden also had two guys sit out because they were all of a sudden sick after the game no longer mattered after Canada won in regulation. So I think everybody knew what was going on in that game. It was still a much better hockey game than any All-Star game would have been, but it was not as competitive as every other one we saw.
I still had fun. I had fun watching it.
Right? Nah.
Not really.
I can tell.
US was not playing that game.
They were not playing good, but it was still fun to watch, at least for me. I enjoyed it.
Especially compared to the Canada-Finland game, it was not close.
I wish they would have switched those games around.
Right, yeah.
That would have made the players actually care about that one a little bit more.
Yes, and 100% agreed on that with you, James.
So I think that's something you take into World Cup of Hockey. I mean, they do that with football, with the divisional games. In the last game of the season, they play them at the same time. That way, no one has an advantage of knowing what the other teams are doing, theoretically. I think you try and do the same thing maybe with the next NHL tournament, maybe. It's a flex game for the last game of round robin, and you can switch them out if you need to incentivize teams.
Yes. Good. Yeah, it's a little harder with this tournament because you're playing in two different locations.
But... Right.
Okay. Anything else about the Four Nations tournament that y'all can think of? I got like one more thing, and that's about it.
Nope.
What did y'all think of the rule changes that they put into it? So 10-minute 3-on-3 overtime, which has been great because there have been a lot of overtime games in the Four Nations tournament. And then the point system, very different. So, you know, it definitely incentivized teams to play harder in the last, you know, 5 minutes of the game if they really needed that extra point to get into the championship game. Obviously in the final game, the US Sweden game, it didn't really matter that much, but we saw that in the Canada Finland game that they were pushing in the last 5 minutes. Do you think this was an opportunity for the NHL to look at it and maybe gauge how the public viewed this stuff, and they'll be like, they'll be later on maybe actually consider it for the NHL? Or do you think they're just doing it just to appease the fans for this one tournament?
I mean, it definitely was a little guinea pig test, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. It's just logical. I mean, I think that's what most other sports leagues that have overtime do, is they split up the points in with a 3-2-1 system. The only thing is, it's just going to be weird for a couple years while you wait and figure out, okay, 100 points means that you had a really good season. What's a really good season now in terms of points, now that a regulation win is 3? And it'll just take some adjustment time. But I think that just makes the most sense, and it's going to make the end of regulation for NHL games a lot better. I mean, because you look at some games and you hit the 3-minute mark and both teams kind of take a knee, or at the very least make sure they maintain possession, especially the Stars. Actually, if you look at how the Stars play at the end of tied games, I mean, they'll take a pass up in the ice, but they're not making any kind of sketchy offensive zone blue line passes as they rush into the zone, because I mean, they know they've got a good chance at overtime in the shootout with how they've done this year. So they're going to make sure they have possession and they don't give the other team a chance more than they are going to try and score and end it in regulation.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it gets rid of fans complaining about the loser point in general.
Right. One other thing it might do, actually, is it might be easier for teams that are lower in the standings to climb. Because right now, with the way games are set up, if the two opponents in your division that are higher than you are playing each other, I mean, you're in a lose-lose situation. And if they go to overtime, it's worse and it makes it harder to climb up and catch them. But if it's a 3-2-1 system, there's going to be 3 points given out with every single game. That's not going to change and get higher. So it's not going to keep the rich richer.
I don't know how I feel about it. I guess I would have to look at, like, I think the ECHL has done it. I think they did it last year, maybe even this year. They done that 3-2-1 system, and I'm just curious how they view it. If it would, and I'm sure the NHL is looking at that as an option too, and using that as a guinea pig test to whether they can use it in the NHL. It might be interesting to try it for 1 year and just see what it does. I don't know if that's something they're willing to do. It's highly unlikely, but I think it would be interesting to make the games kind of push for it a little bit more. I think it would be fun.
The thing that's much more likely is the 10-minute overtime. I mean, especially with the first game with Canada-Sweden and how that one pushed. I think it was the 7th minute of overtime that game ended in. Can you imagine if that overtime happened at 5 minutes and they just blew it and they're like, "Yeah, we're done. We're going to go do shootouts now." Like, that would be such a horrible way to end it. So extending it just 5 more minutes, you can't keep your super high skill guys on the entire 10 minutes. You got to get some different people in. It makes it much more likely that you're going to end it while playing at least some kind of hockey, and it's just a lot better.
All right. Anything else on that? No? Okay. Let's move on. We got a couple more things to talk about before we run out of time here. Sam Steele is going to be a member of the Dallas Stars for another 2 years after this season. Signs for 2 years, $4.2 million for the entire contract, so $2.1 per year. Some people at first said, "Oh my goodness, that's really, really high." Not really considering the cap is going to go up quite a bit. I think this is a good deal both for Steele and for the Dallas Stars. You know, Steele gets a little bit of a pay raise considering what he's done for the Dallas Stars the last couple of years. He's been excellent for them. He's been a great addition. He's almost been like a Ty DeLandria type player, and or like a Evgeny Dodonov type player, where you can just kind of plug him in the lineup kind of wherever, and he seems to do really well whatever situation he's given. And at some points, he's been the best player on his line. And so I think this is a great depth option for Jim Neal to kind of get taken care of, and he's going to be wearing the Dallas Stars colors for another 2.5 years. Really excited to see this.
Yeah, he's a small erratic fox that can actually score and do things with the puck. So that's good. And he's cheaper. it'll be interesting to see how the contract ages once we get to the offseason this year, knowing how much the cap is going to go up. Because I was seeing some weird some weird things from insiders saying that he could have gone on the UFA market for like $3 million, $3.5 million even, which seems crazy to me. I think that's way too high, but we'll see when it comes to the offseason. It's going to be weird. There's going to be some bad contracts being signed in the next couple of years, I think.
Anytime general managers have cap space, they're going to spend it unwisely, it seems like. At least half the league.
Yeah, someone will do it.
Yes. I mean, like, we saw Vancouver do it for a while. We've seen some bad contracts from Steve Yzerman in Detroit. It's just bound to happen. But it's going to be really interesting. The 3.5 mark, I did hear that too, Chris. I thought that was really interesting. I was like, really that much? For a guy that will mostly play in your bottom six?
Yeah.
He will play in a bottom six role in Dallas. If he was on like a more middle of the road team, I think he might play second line minutes, but again, highly doubtful. So I was just really surprised that that's what they were saying he could get on the open market.
I don't think that's true. I mean, those are just reports. So I don't think that'll happen when the offseason comes around, but we don't exactly know what is going to happen. So this could turn out to be just an absolute steal, or it could just be another meh kind of Fox-ish contract, but it's not 3.5, so I'll take it.
Steal.
Oh my God.
Dang it.
You said it. I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, normally it's Chris is the one that catches that. James, you're getting a little bit more woody as we go.
Normally I do that on purpose, and I didn't even realize it.
You did it on accident.
All right, we got about, like, I don't know, maybe 5-6 minutes to do this next part. And these rumors, they're steep and they keep coming. And I expected them to die, and they're not dying. We are seeing more and more and more about Stars being connected to top players on the trade market. So we've continued to see things about Seth Jones, and I'm like, no. Unless he's double retained, wow. It does not make sense to me. We've seen Ristolainen still being, you know, connected to the Dallas.
That one makes more sense.
I don't like that one. I would rather, if we're going to go out and spin something, I don't want Ristolainen. I know Seth Jones still has 5 years.
Sorry to get you off your roll, but would you rather have Dumba or Ristolainen? That's the question. I'd rather have Ristolainen.
If they take Dumba, if Philadelphia takes Dumba, then absolutely yes, I would want Ristolainen.
Right.
Now and then there's still connections apparently to Rantanen. I don't know if y'all have seen stuff like that. That makes zero sense to me. I think that's just people blowing smoke where there's not a fire at all. And the reason why they're saying that is because it doesn't seem like the Rantanen Carolina contract talks are going all that well. So Carolina may be looking to flip him at the deadline just because they don't want to lose him for nothing. They gave up Martin Aitches and all that sort of stuff. That makes no sense if you're a Dallas Stars, because he's going to get 12 million, right? 12, 13 million.
He's going to be the highest paid player in the NHL.
I don't think so, because you still got Leon Draisaitl. He's going to get 14. I think he's at 14.5.
Oh, is he a UFA this year?
But he already signed his extension. Like, yeah. He's already the guy. So
I think Renton's going to be right there.
With Leon Draisaitl?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Well, wait.
I think if he stayed in Colorado for the season, then he would.
I don't know. I disagree with that too, because I think that I think he would have given a hometown discount at least a little bit to the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, yeah. I think he said that. I think he said that in an interview, that he would have given a slight discount to Colorado.
Right, but what was
it? Yeah, he said that after he got traded, true.
Yes, and what really was that discount? Was it like, okay, I'll take 11.5 instead of 12.25 or something like that? That's not much of a discount when you talk about hometown discount. But so you really think he can get 14 million?
I think he could get 14 million. If he's not signing with Carolina, I think it's because he's around there right now.
Okay. James,
Yeah, I don't know how much he gets paid. I think the fact that he's played bad in Carolina will hurt him quite a bit, and people can point and be like, see, you're only good because McKinnon's good. But
yeah, but his regular season performance doesn't matter at all. Whatever he does in the playoffs is the only thing people are going to remember.
And that's the only thing that a lot of teams are going to care about. And
unless he gets traded to a team who doesn't go to the playoffs.
I don't think that happens either. But maybe it does. Maybe it does.
That would be crazy.
Chicago?
Oh, my gosh. No.
Why? Well,
play with Connor.
I'm not even gonna entertain that question.
Please watch them go and get the number one draft pick this year too, Chicago, and they get Rantanen and they have Bedard. Yeah, that would be nuts. Okay, Chris, you're still on the we need another forward
right kind
of storyline, right? Are you still on that?
Yeah, I'm still on Brock Nelson, too. I mean, after watching him play for U.S., I thought he played very solid. I think he's a guy who could shoot, and he could score big-time goals. So I'm still on the Brock Nelson train. But that's only if Miro can – we're very confident that Miro can come back round one, game one. If we're not very confident, and I mean like 90, 95% confident, then you need to get more D.
Okay. Are you still there with Chris?
I like Brock Nelson. I think he'd be a great add. It comes down to what are you going to pay for the rental at that point. I mean, it's basically that does it work for both teams?
Right. And what I think Neil is going to do, I think Neil is going to get a defenseman. That's just not what I would prefer.
Okay. I still prefer a defenseman. I think we need it. There's just – We've had too many injuries with Labushkin being out, and on top of that, Miro being out. It just goes to show you that even though the Stars do have depth, they don't have a guy – like if they're fully healthy, they don't have a guy in their third pairing that could step up and take a top four role right now, I don't think. And maybe that guy is Cody Ceci, because I think ideally that's where you want him to be. And you have Bischel, CeCe as your third pairing. But ideally, both of those guys, you don't want them playing top 4 minutes. And I don't think the Stars have anybody outside of what they currently have that can step in and do a top four role like that. So I don't know if – I really want them to go and get Dobson, but – I know how much that's going to cost. And even if they do get Dobson, I don't think I'm going to like – what we would be giving up for him. So I just don't think it's likely. I guess right now the Seth Jones continues to still be it makes slightly more sense
with him wanting to get out of Chicago. If you can steal him out of Chicago for nothing, it becomes a lot more feasible to be able to get another team to retain as well.
Well, it pretty much has to be double retained, at least for me, or 60% retained or 70% retained in order to make it worthwhile.
You can't do that. You can only do 50%.
That's not necessarily true. You can finagle another team. Yes, exactly. So, and then you're including another team in that, and they're going to expect compensation for their role in taking whatever it is. And
that's...
If you're trying to get rid of Dumba on top of that, then are you also – it just doesn't make any sense when it comes to that. Would I like it? Yeah, absolutely. He would immediately become the Stars' best right-handed defenseman. Immediately, probably. And
probably.
Yeah, probably.
Immediately, probably.
You know, but Miro still plays on the right.
Okay, right-handed defenseman.
Oh, there we go.
Right-handed defenseman. How does that hurt?
I just think these rumors are all just made up. I just think it's Seth Jones' agent trying to stir the pot and get people interested. And again, with the article that came out today where Seth Jones says he wants to go play for a good team, he's trying to stir the pot and trying to get people interested. And the problem is no one's interested because you're getting paid $9.5 million a year for 5 more years. So he's trying to create interest where there is none. He's trying to make a market where one doesn't exist.
That's the only reason why I think it could actually happen is because if no one wants him, then you can find a way to get him over here, and you can find a way to double retain it.
And then Chicago may be willing to take Dumba and maybe a lesser draft pick if nobody truly wants him.
Yeah.
So I just I see that logic.
At that cap hit, I think Chicago just like keeps him and hopes that somehow this team, I mean, they made good trades last offseason. It didn't pan out how they wanted it to, obviously, but they have good players on this team and good young players too. They're just hoping that Bedard turns into McDavid, is that big of a threat in the league, and all of a sudden 3 years from now they are a good team and they have Seth Jones for two more years. Then I mean, that just makes more sense than trading Seth Jones for a second round pick, which is all that I think they could get with how bad his salary cap is.
But I mean, they might be wanting to get some cap space open, because I mean, Bedard's
they got plenty of cap space.
Well, I mean, they why not go get in get even more cap space?
They might be at the floor. They're gonna have to take Dumba just so that they can be legal.
Okay. A lot of fun things going on in the NHL right now. We're looking forward to that Canada-US game. It's going to be fantastic, just like the game on Saturday. I don't know if it's going to be as watched as the game on Saturday was, but there's a possibility there. Someone was asking, will Donald Trump show up to the game? It's already been reported that he will not be showing up to the game in Boston. So he will not be there. But anyways, Sam Steele extension, excited to see that. And then Jim Nill needs to cook. Let him work his magic. Let's see what he can do. Okay, we're at the Who Cares segment of our show here today. James, since it was your idea, I will allow you to introduce said Who Cares segment.
This is my idea. I did write it down in Discord for taking my idea because my ideas are the best. If you want us to pick your idea, go to the Discord and write it down. All right, we're doing our top three favorite crops.
As in plants.
As in plants.
Food producing plants. Crop.
Crop.
I don't even know which way you're going to go, because you always have like a very interesting angle.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes,
I know which way I'm going to go. I'm going to go with onions. Number third, onion. Bang.
All right.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it. I like onions.
All right. My...
I was expecting more from you, Chris, than that. Normally you have a really good monologue for each of your top three.
Not always.
Onions.
Yes. Onions.
Onions.
Okay. Like ogres.
Yes.
They have layers.
Okay. You next, James.
All right, my number third is the corn crop, because cornfields remind me of home. That's pretty much it.
Oh, you got all suckery on us.
It's a nice feeling, you know, when we finally get on those back roads towards Farmersville and you just see the cornfields on either side. Nice and pretty.
Just for miles and miles and miles.
It's not miles and miles, but
yeah, no.
This we're not Kansas, but you know, they're there.
I guess I will give my number third. It's kind of lame and I don't really have a monologue, like kind of like yours, Chris, but mine is wheat. Because I like bread.
That's a great answer. My number two is wheat. The wheat led to the rise of civilizations. And you know what else it does? It rises with your bread, and it's delicious. I love bread so much. I can eat bread every day for every meal for the rest of my life until I die, and it would kill me very quickly. I love wheat.
I see what you did there, Chris. The rises thing. That was very good.
That one was intentional. Bang.
James.
All right, my number second is it's the sunflower, because sunflower fields are really pretty. I mean, you could consider it not a crop, but they grow them and they harvest all those sunflower seeds. They gotta come from somewhere.
No, that's a crop. Them sunflower seeds is tasty.
Those are great, and they're beautiful fields. I mean, have you ever seen a sunflower field? I can stare at those
macros on sunflowers. The healthy fats. That's some good stuff.
Have you ever tried like the flavored sunflower seeds? Not just like
no, I've never had. Yes, I've had the flavored sunflower seeds. Have you had the Tapatio ones? Oh my goodness, those are crazy.
I'm not a big fan of them. I like the OGs, and that's about it.
That's because you're crazy.
Taco Bell has a taco-flavored sunflower seed. Goes crazy. They got, oh my goodness, they have these cinnamon churro ones. Those go crazy. We gotta do sunflower seed flavor. Somebody write that down. Write that down.
Yeah, don't ruin it. I didn't even know they had all of these.
They have a lot. Bro, they have
you
a
You gotta
lot.
Go to Bucky's, dude. They got all the sunflower
seeds. There's probably more sunflower seeds than chip flavors.
Really?
No, but there is a lot.
Chris, no, but there's a lot. I was literally at Bucky's like twice in the last week, and
the sunflower seeds are actually in the healthy snack section, so you would never be over there.
Oh, you're so funny.
Ha.
Ha. I'm
roasting. Just like sunflower seeds.
Good segue. Number two for me. I'm also going to give it to the onion. That was my number two, actually. But the best kind of onion is deep fried onion rings.
Shocker.
You're just proving his point.
I know. I almost didn't say it because I was just like, well, crap. Oh, well. Chris, number one.
Potatoes. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. They're delicious. I love potatoes.
That's a good number one.
All right, my number one is rice, because rice fields are also very beautiful. And you know what led to more rise of the civilizations? It's rice.
Maybe the Eastern civilizations.
I was about to say, yeah.
These Western ones are built on bread. That's why we're so thick.
Wheat and sugar.
Well, sugar from the U.S. Wheat everywhere else is just wheat.
Yeah, that's true. For me, my number one is going to be corn. I know that's kind of lame out of all the stuff,
corn.
But it's the one I eat the most out of any kind of crop. And
you eat more
really
corn than bread. That is wrong.
Well, I
guarantee you that's corn. Wrong.
Okay, I don't eat wheat per se. I eat bread, but I eat corn.
Guess what's in bread?
You can just let me have my moment.
Cooked like bread.
Anyway, I enjoy corn on the cob. It's my favorite. That's my. It's why.
I'm trying to save you. This is so boring.
Why it is my number one. There we go. Okay. Anything else, guys? Before we wrap it up here this evening.
Now let's talk more about corn. Corncast. That's the next one. That new show.
No. Starcast. We're not going.
You don't want to talk about corn?
No, I don't.
Well, why not, James?
No reason.
We better log off of this.
I rescind my third. It's no longer that.
Anyways, guys, thank y'all so much for following with us live here today. We're not making Chris rage anymore. We should make him talk more about mint chocolate.
Mint chocolate is amazing and it's delicious, especially thin mints. Oh my goodness, they're so good.
Thank you guys so much for following along live with us here tonight. He's gone. Thank you guys for following along with us live if you have been. There's even more who are listening afterwards. Thank you all so much as well. If you would like to be a member of the Who Cares Club, please consider going and joining that in the link in the description below. Thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. That code is THPN. SarcasticRemarksShop.com is the merch store. Chris, I know you can hear me even though you're not on screen. There is actually, believe it or not, a shower curtain that is on there specifically for you.
You can buy a Sarcastic Remarks shower curtain.
Yes, and I don't expect anybody to buy it, by the way. I only put it on there because I know Chris would love it.
It's expensive.
So. It is very expensive, so. But anyways, what else? Social media, ask sarcasticr anywhere and everywhere, sarcasticremarks.com.
The Discord,
join the Discord. Again, link is down in the description below. And that's it. Alongside Chris, alongside James, my name is Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. Chris, you just want to give us a GG, boys, just because.
I hate thin mints.